We are finishing up our series on friendship. But before I do, I just want to say I'm really happy for the youth group. You know that you guys got to do the youth camp. Was it fun, guys? Yeah, so cool, so cute. And you guys went to a mansion, right? As your first camp, and then it's all downhill from here. Just want you to know, we can't afford those mansions anymore, you know? Anyways, I'm sure it was fun. I want to reiterate the announcement about Pastor Q coming next week. You guys know we have been in partnership and supporting the Road Church in LA for a while now. And he's a very busy man, not just with his church in the Row, but also all the advocacy work that he does in LA. And so the fact that we're getting Pastor Q out here next week with his team is just a privilege. It's really an honor to have him. And I'm so excited for you to meet him because I want you guys to see what I would say a true prophet looks like. Okay? So many of us grew up in Pentecostal settings and charismatic settings where everyone and their mom is a prophet, right? And then they self-proclaim that they're prophets, right? Like, he doesn't call himself that. But if I was to categorize his type of ministry, I would say this man is truly a prophetic voice in our time. Really going after the injustices and the inequality and all the racial issues that we're facing in this nation. I really want you guys to be a witness of what that prophetic ministry looks like, because it is also what God calls us to. The church cannot lose its prophetic edge. We have to always be able to call truth to power. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's that. Those are the announcements. And we are ending this series today with I Choose You. Doesn't that sound like a Pokemon, you know, episode? I Choose You. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you felt that we needed this series. I really believe it was you. Not just to expose our loneliness and maybe issues that came out of the pandemic, but really to meet our needs. You're not the God who just exposes, you're the God who provides. So I pray, God, in this next season, as we carry the truth, God, that we heard from this series, I pray you give us chances upon chances to implement, God, what it means to be a friend in Christ and also to receive friendship in Christ. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So let's do a quick recap and I will close this series. We started with this entire series with this idea that during the pandemic, something very obvious, maybe that we were ignoring, was brought to surface. And that thing is that we are very disconnected as a people. Even Christians who are supposed to be connected to God and His creation and His church, we find ourselves realizing that we're really lonely and that we're really disconnected. And this nation, the way it's designed, the social architecture of this nation, it's just primed for loneliness. And then we have to walk around acting like we're not lonely. Right? We have to act like we don't need community. We have to act like we don't need each other. When really we're desperately longing for friends in a community we can call our own. Can I get an amen? And so we delved into that problem and we said that the first thing we tackled was in the sermon Leaves We Weave. We said that to deal with this problem, that guy has a problem. To deal with this problem, we said that the first thing we have to do is we have to deal with our deep loneliness because of the absence of God. Because we feel so distant from God. And then we said that we don't have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, that we found that all of life is God-shaped. And this is why Sunday alone cannot fulfill us. We need Jesus every single day to be our best friend. And it's only then that we'll have an overflow of love to give and to receive the kind of friendship we're looking for. Can I get an amen? And so we said, we got to take down these leaves that we weave. And we got to get vulnerable first with God and receive Him as our Lord and Savior and our friend. Then we talked about Lean on Me, a sermon on how to invite friends into times of all season, all kinds of weather. That we need friends not just for sunny weathers, but we need friends for every type of weather. In order for that to happen, we all need to get a little bit more vulnerable. Right? Do you know how vulnerable that I was that day? Doing that kind of stuff? It's because I'm your friend. Look at that. Becca. Oh. So we said we need to invite people to our sunshine weathers. Remember that? We need to invite people to our rainy days. And we need to confess about our hurricane moments when we've made a mess of things. And we need to invite people in. And that's the way we feel connected when we're vulnerable. And then Pastor Isaac talked about training together so we can gain together. And he talked about surrounding yourselves with people that are training in the things that you believe is godly and good. And then when you do that, you too will become like the people you are surrounded by. And then Heidi Kwan talked about the crappy first drafts. That's a really good title, isn't it? The crappy first drafts, how life is really a story and how God wants to write His story through you. And often we settle for the crappy first drafts, right? When God provides friends as editors so that our story could be powerful, attractive, and a testimony to God. And so she urged us, listen to people, invite people, give them spiritual or metaphorical red pens to write in your story so that you can be the person God intended you to be. Then we talked about the vocabulary of friendship, how words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. So we talked about what kind of words friends say. And we talked about saying hopeful words, helpful words, and healing words. You guys remember that? I want you to practice this. When you practice this, you'll find yourself being the friend that you always wanted. And then Pastor Jeanette talked about friends that stick, that in order to move from acquaintance to intimate friends, from friendliness to friendship, we need to actively cultivate sticky, Christ-centered relationships. She was challenging us to get out of shallow friendships and work on actually cultivating something deeper. Not just with Christian friends, but I'm talking about all your friends that God gave you. It takes intentionality. It takes cultivating for it to be rich and meaningful. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so we arrive at the final word. And it comes from Proverbs 12, verse 26. It says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." That's in the Word of God. The Word of God talks a lot about friendship. It doesn't just talk about spiritual things, heavenly things, angels and demons and healings and warfare and nations and conquerors and all that. The Scripture actually talks about something very practical and needed like friendship. And then Scripture says that in Proverbs 12, it says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully." Listen to that. Listen to the wisdom of the Word of God. Did you know that in your life, you didn't get to choose your family? You know? And if I can address you youth kids, I know you're like, sometimes you wish you could have chosen the family you were born in, right? Say no. Say no. Say no right now. Especially my kids, say no. But I know you're like, goodness gracious, I didn't get to choose my mom. I didn't get to choose my dad. I didn't get to choose my siblings. And it's true. You don't have a choice. You were born into your family, and that family is a gift from God. Right? He, in his wisdom, gave you these families. Okay? You also, if you think about it, don't really get to have that much say in the family of God. You know, Scripture, I know you think you had a lot to do with, but the Scripture says that God chose you. You know? It's so funny because growing up, people will say things like, you know, like, I've been looking for God, or I've been looking for Jesus, and I found him, as if he was lost. Right? The truth is, you've been running away, and he's been looking for you. So the truth is, God chose you. The only part that you had a say in is when you responded to that choice. And then you got baptized publicly saying, I respond to this invitation of salvation and kingdom living. But really, God chose you in his great wisdom and love. But then, he gives us this crazy responsibility and says, but I'll let you choose your friends. You don't get to choose your... I mean, honestly, the righteous choose their friends wisely. I mean, really, God, you thought I should be blessed by your decision to put me in this family. You chose it for me. You chose salvation for me to belong to the family of God. And then, why don't you just finish the deal and choose my friends for me? No. He gives that great responsibility to us. Now, side note, one of the reasons I believe he does this is because we will actually be judged by the kind of associates and friends we have. Meaning our friends echo our lifestyle and what we want to take responsibility for. What I mean by that is your choice in friendship is an expression of how you want to live your life for God or not for God. Hello? Nobody? So, youth kids, if I can... I know it's already boring, isn't it? I'm so sorry. Pastor Isaac is going to be so much fun. So much more fun than me. You know, when I was in high school, like many of you guys, I gave my life to Jesus. And before, my kids don't believe this, but before I gave my life to Jesus, I was the life of the party. No, I really was. My kids don't believe me. They think I started dating in my 30s. Listen, by the time I was 13, I was like the life of the party. You understand? This is back when we actually met for parties. I'm not talking about your digital parties that you guys meet in. I'm talking about human parties, right? I was the guy. And I was always surrounded by friends. I was just like so fun to be around. I'm being honest. Then I gave my life to Jesus. And I kid you not, I went back to school and it was lunchtime. And I know you guys all probably face this, but during lunchtime, at least in my era, do you guys still do this? We actually took a plate and we went through a line, and then people, it was kind of like prison. People like put food on your little plate and you walk out. And I tell you what, the scariest moment of every day was the last food item that was being dumped, because right after she puts the mashed potato or whatever, right, you have to turn. You have to turn around and face the world. The world of friends or no friends. Right? You guys all feel that? First day of school, any of you guys feel that? I know all of you feel that. And then there's that moment, right, where you're like, who do I sit with? Who do I sit with? Right? Now, some people are blessed with all these friends. And, hey, what's up, dude? What's up? Right? But me, I had got kicked out of a school. Right? And then I met Jesus. And then I went to a new school. And in that new school, nobody knew that I was cool. So I went and I sat with these guys that I thought, these are the guys I need to sit with. You guys all have those guys, right? At your school, you look out and you go, those are the guys or those are the gals that everybody wants to know. Usually the idiots, right? But I was like, I gotta know them. So I sat next to them, right? And I was eating. Now they were nice enough not to chase me away. And then I was eating and then I noticed they were beginning to talk and laugh and go crazy. And I knew, wow, this is the fun group. But then the more I sat there and the more I wanted to connect with them, the more I felt like I had to compromise my faith. I know this is going to sound scary for some of you youth kids, but at that moment, I had a decision to make. I had to choose my friends now. And I sat there and I went, God, I'm now a follower of you. And this group reminds me a lot like the last group. I so want to be a part of this group because I don't want to be seen like a loser or like, I just want friends. But I want to choose wisely. And I want to live for you. You see, youth kids and all you older kids, can I say something to you guys? Friends are given not just for fun. Friends are chosen so that you can be faithful to God. We choose friends so that we can finish the race, not so we can fill in this empty space. That rhymed. So I know you kids are like, so what happened, Pastor Brian? I'm so interested in your sermon. So you know what I did? I walked away. I just got up and I remember I was thinking, and deep inside, can I be honest with you? I know it's a moment of conviction. It was a very bold moment, but deep inside, I wish some of them would reach out and stop me from moving away, but they didn't. But I got up and I got my plate and I was like, hey guys, I'm just gonna go over there and eat. Not one guy recognized it or acknowledged that I was leaving. And then I looked around and I went, man, Lord, I don't know who to hang with. I don't know who to hang with right now. So I picked this corner where this bush was, and I'm not kidding, I hid behind the bush and ate by myself. That's so sad. Right? Now, eventually, God brought amazing friends to me, okay? But I knew if I compromised that day and I did not choose friends intentionally, I knew my heart would get corrupted. Scripture says it like this: don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Another way Scripture says it is: don't let anyone fool you. Bad companions make a good person bad. Sounds so elementary, doesn't it? But why the heck is this written there? And a lot of us adults are looking at it going, this is such a cute message for kids. This was not written for kids. Let me say it another way. Don't be deceived. Who you admire, who you associate with, who you listen to, who you think deserves respect. Come on, somebody. You will be shaped by them. You just will. PB, I want to be a generous man. Who are you surrounded by? What do you listen to? All your podcasts, every podcast you listen to has to do with how to make money faster and faster. Come on, somebody. But then you're struggling with being generous. who you associate with or listen to or hang with ends up shaping you. You are more malleable than you think. This is why you must realize that friendship is not just for fun, it's for faithfulness. So we got to learn, who do we choose? The Bible says choose wisely, the righteous choose wisely. And we're like, what does that mean, God? What does that mean to choose wisely? Well, we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus for everything, right? Who did Jesus choose to hang with? He chose number one. He chose number one. Dad. He chose to hang with Dad. You guys think that I'm being this is like a religious saying here, like, oh, he prayed a lot, or he was very religious, or he was very in tune with his religious practices. No, I'm actually saying he spent time with Dad, his father. He made time to pray. He made time to be with him. Dad became, in a sense, his best friend. Just a real side note for you youth kids. If you're looking for a friend and you want to choose friends wisely, look for a friend who has good relationships with authority. Just want you to know that. Okay, that's for future. I know you guys don't hear me right now. 20 years from now, you're going to remember this. And you're going to be like, I had the best pastor in the world. Maybe 30. All right. The next one. Who did he surround himself with? The disciples. Right? Wouldn't it be funny if the last one wasn't a D? All right. The disciples. What does this mean, PB? What does this mean? Okay. What does this mean? He hung out with people who were hungry, who was hungry. They're hungry to do God's will in God's way, and they were hungry for God's word. Surround yourself with people with an appetite for good. You're like, how do I apply this at work? None of my friends are Christians at work. Well, look for somebody who is hungry, who is ambitious for good things. Come on, somebody. You know people like that at work. There are people that are just ambitious, and then there's people that are always looking to improve, to make better. Come on, somebody. Right? But as Christians, we look for people that are hungry for God. Right? But I do have a side note, because we live in a time where I need to say this. Just because they're Christians and church going doesn't mean that you have chosen wisely by picking them to associate with. Scripture says it like this. 1 Corinthians, it says, but I am saying that you shouldn't act as if everything is just fine when one of your Christian companions is promiscuous or crooked, is flipped with God or rude to friends, gets drunk or becomes greedy and predatory. You can't just go along with this, treating it as acceptable behavior. We now live in a time in American Christianity where we say, stop being legalistic. I am just being human, which is their version of saying, I am the way I was before I met Jesus. And we just go along with it. But he's my friend, PB, and I've gone to church with him my whole life. Scripture says actually set a boundary. I know this sounds crazy, right? This sounds crazy in a culture where we think love is accepting of everything. Right? Hey, you cheating on your wife? We love you. Hey, you beating your kids? We love you. Hey, you slandering your friends at church and causing division? Oh, we love you in Jesus. No, you gotta have a stance. And that's what it means to choose wisely. Choosing wisely involves conviction. Hello? I'm trying to help you here. Where you say, listen, some of that stuff I can't deal with. Maybe let's go over this again. What do you mean by some of these Christians? I'd rather have you hang out with non-Christians who are boldly sinning than people who profess to be followers of Jesus boldly sinning. At least one of them are not hypocrites. My youth pastor used to tell me, "Brian, if you're going to sin, I want you to go out and sin like hell." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "That is awesome." And then he looked at me. You guys all know Pastor Sam. He's so intense, right? He looked at me and he would go, "But if you're going to follow God." And then he says some inappropriate words like, I won't say, but he was like, "Just don't be a wimp. Follow God all the way." But he's like, "But choose. Don't do anything half-hearted." Right? So people, what do you mean by this? What does Paul mean by this? Promiscuous or doesn't value the sacredness. They don't value the sacredness of their bodies. If you have Christian friends or church-going friends that don't value the sacredness of their bodies, don't associate with them. If you have Christian friends that are crooked and greedy, basically lovers of money, they're professing Christians, but they can't be generous, or they won't be generous, or they won't grow in generosity, make a line. Oh, this is awkward, isn't it? It's awkward. You might have to sit next to a bush. Predatory. If you find yourself or your friends being violent, angry, is highly interested in being an advantage over others in life, because other versions say using violent language or slander, always trying to cut down, be divisive, they speak ill of others to be in a place of what? An advantage over others, and they're professing Christians, don't hang out with them. Be funny next week if you guys all move seats and you're like, "I can't sit next to you anymore." Now, you also can't say my wife or husband like this and leave them, okay? So don't be like that either, okay? Oh, this is a good one. Paul also said if they're rude. You know what's another word for that? If they're just so proud and just unaware. Drunk or addicts. And then finally, I love this one, they're flip with God. They don't take their relationship with God seriously. If you find that in others that are Christians, create a line. But I also want to tell you this, if you fit this description, cut it out. Because God wants to bless your friends with a very authentic, integrous Christian friend in you. Baby, I can't remember all this. This is too much. There's too many criteria. I'm gonna bring it to you very simply here, okay? Are you ready? God loves it when you are friends with those who are hungry and those who are humble. Okay? And then I'll give you one more. Before we do the last one, I want to share the third D. Who did Jesus hang out with the most? Dad, disciples, and the disenfranchised. Jesus hung out with people that were unattractive, that was the underdog, that did not allow maybe others to take a, you know, be in a place of advantage. These were not people good for business. These were not people good for your ego. Come on, somebody. These were not people that would bring comfort to his life. But Jesus kept associating and making so much so that the religious said he is a friend of sinners. Friend of sinners mean he's a friend of those that are just casted out by God. The marginalized, the sick, the lepers, come on somebody, the poor, the refugees, the asylum seekers, the immigrant. Come on, somebody. He hung out with them. When you guys go back to school this week, in time, I know this is very scary right now. I know. Right now, you're like, I just want a friend. I get it. But in time, as your, can I say something to you, youth kids? As your faith grows, your convictions get stronger. Right? And who you consider true friends becomes narrower. But I want to say this. When you look around this campus this week, kids, don't just look for those that are attractive. Don't just look for kids that you're like, if I hang with them, I'll make more friends in this type of circle. Look for the loner. Look for the disadvantaged. Look for the kids that maybe other kids do not find attractive. You will find that some of them, man, I tell you what, there is a gem, there's a treasure in them. You see, our Jesus would have probably hung around them. If Jesus was in your school, kids, he would be very unpopular. So the final one is, what is it? The hungry, humble, and the hopeful. Those whose lives are filled with only hope. I wish there was a better way. I wish there was a better life. Those that are under oppression, those that are longing in hope for a better day, Jesus surrounded himself with them. I know. It's so bad for business, isn't it? All right. So I'm going to end with this. Let's land this plane. So, PB, even those three things are hard to remember. Can you boil it down to just one thing? Just one thing. Okay? I'm going to do it for you. And this qualifies for non-Christian friends and Christian friends. It doesn't matter. Church friends, your business associates. This is the type of person I want you to be, and this is the type of person I want you to look for. Okay? In order to do that, I'm going to read this passage. Jesus tells a story in Luke 18. Then Jesus told a story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by him and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like the tax collector. It's a very awkward moment because there's a tax collector next to him. So talk about no self-awareness, okay? So he goes, I'm certainly not like the tax collector, okay? I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Everyone listening to him in this story right now going, that man is righteous, okay? But the tax collector stood at a distance. Everyone say, stood at a distance. Oh, already something's going on. And dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. PB, what? Tell me one attribute, one characteristic of the type of friend I should be looking for. By the way, this is, hey, young girls, sounds creepy the way I said it, I know. Young girls. I said a young girls too much, didn't I? Young ladies of Echo Youth. Gosh, it doesn't get any better. Listen to me. What I'm about to say to this church right now, you can apply this to your future man. Okay? Isabella? Okay? Because if this homeboy doesn't have this attribute, don't even bring him home. Okay? I'm just letting you know. Are you ready? There's two kinds of people, okay, in that temple. One was so righteous. One had it all together. One, in their eyes, in that culture especially, was very successful. But very unaware. Stood proud, absolutely pristine, untouched, right? Then a man stood next to that Pharisee, that religious man. And he didn't even come close to God in terms of distance in that temple. He was like, I'm not worthy. The fact that I can even address God, I'm grateful for. And so for far away, right? If you guys can see this. He prays. He prays to God saying, I am not worthy. I am far from you. Everybody has a fragrance. He's praying, God, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve your love. Help me, forgive me. You know what this person was? He was broken. He was humble. And he was humbled by life. I would say he's somebody that was very not impressed with himself. If this was life, life had its way with him. Became broken. Family problems. Business deals. Why did he turn into a tax collector? The most despised job in that society. Something didn't go right. Maybe dad left. Maybe mom cheated. Come on, somebody. And he's experiencing life the way it really is. He's not hidden and sheltered under religion like this guy, propping himself up with all kinds of righteous deeds. He comes to God like this, broken. He comes to God humble. This is the kind of people I want you to be, youth kids. This is the kind of person I want you to look for in your future spouse. I don't care if they're rich. I don't care if they're talented. Are they humble before God? Are they humbled by life? Scripture says it like this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. In James it says, and he gives grace generously. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isaiah says, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. If you're looking for friends, whether they're Christian or not, look for these kinds of people. People with no pretense. People who are not covering up with their successes or their spirituality. Come on, somebody. People honest before God. People so grateful for life. And you too. You need to be like this. Kids, I'm not going to lie to you. Life will do this to you. But then the temptation is to then fix it ourselves and try to look like this. But when you look like this, God cannot smell that fragrance of brokenness. And He uses and blesses people like this. Echo, we're going to move forward. I have an exhortation for you. We're going to move forward. We're done with this series. Pastor Q is going to come. And we're going to start a great new series after the week after. I'm so excited about it. I've been preparing for it. I'm really excited for this next stage for Echo. But here's the deal. We are charged by God to make disciples out of each other and out of this world. But we can't do that if we're constantly looking and longing for friends. So before God says, go and make disciples of all the nations, God, in essence, is telling you, can you go and make some friends? Go make some friends so we can go make disciples. Become friends with each other here. Meet each other's needs. Find friends in your world that are humble and broken, and be that friend to them. And in doing so, you will find yourself fulfilled by this blessing called friendship. And when you do, when we get here, we won't be so needy. We'll actually be what? More longing to make disciples. Let's pray. Youth kids, I'd like to pray for you. If you guys can stand up at your pews where you're at. You don't have to come up. Just stand up, all the youth kids. And then people around them, teachers, if somebody can lay hands on them. I want to pray a blessing of friendships over you. It is the most important, I think, investment you'll make in life is who you become friends with. So right now, Father, let's all just pray. If your members here, if you're here at the church, just stretch out your hand real quick. And I want you to pray for the youth kids here right now. They are in junior high. They're in junior high and high school. It is, you guys remember that time, right? It is the most volatile season. Okay? But right now, Lord, I pray, open doors to the right relationships. And may the right people find them. And when they find them, they find Jesus. There you go. Go ahead and just bless them, guys. Release friendships that are meaningful, that are not just fun, but that calls them to you. Let them come to know you, all of them and their friends. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy as life breaks them into pieces. May they be broken towards you, not away from you. Have mercy, O God. Jesus. May they not be afraid of rejection. May their convictions in you grow day by day. A young army of Christ followers, I pray. Yes, Lord. And let's pray for ourselves. If you can just put your hand over your heart, I want to pray for you. Okay? Father, we just confess to you. were lonely in many ways. But we confess first and foremost that this whole is all of us. Life is God-shaped, and we really miss you. We want more of you. Teach me how to be your friend. Teach me how to be your friend. And Lord, I pray for supernatural breakthrough over relationships here. I know that the enemy does not want us to connect. So I pray that we will find deep, meaningful friendships here. We don't have to find our best friends. We want to find the Christ-following friend. Lord, will you allow us to have that? And I pray, finally, for us to be the kind of friends we long for in our workplace, in our families, in our neighborhoods. I pray that when people meet our people, they'll say, I think that's what a friend looks like. Bless us, Lord. I pray for your presence to be with us this whole week. I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen, church. Amen.